Don't we live in weird times? It is a weird season that we're in. So what do? When you have a time of crisis, what do? Well, the good news is the scriptures are written for exactly the hour we live in. And we're in our series, Defeating Fear in Dark Days. And today's message is how to pray through a crisis. This is part two. And if you want to, open your Bible, get your notebook out, get your pen ready, start taking notes. Daniel chapter 9, one of the great chapters in the Bible. Gary, you always say that. You always say it's one of the great chapters. You know what? There's a lot of great chapters in the Bible. And we don't have time to go through all of it, but you need to. One of the things I just want to encourage you to do, see, there's folks will say, "Yo, Gary, I'm so confused. There's so much information, and it's like this vast ocean of knowledge, and it's overwhelming." The reason it's overwhelming is because this is something you're not used to. Start reading your Bible. Start reading the Bible in the New Testament in particular. You can start reading the books that are really easy for us Westerners to comprehend and to digest are the epistles of Paul. You know, so Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, you can remember that. General Electric Power Company. Okay, you can read, that's one way to remember those four little books. It takes minutes to read each one. So another way to remember that is Gentiles Eat Pork Constantly. This is another way to remember those four books. But that's a good place to start. But start reading the Bible. Start in the New Testament. Start with the epistles. And then go to John's Gospel. And then read some more. There's the general epistles and so forth. And then, there's wonderful Bible study, read through the Bible in a year programs online. BibleGateway.com has other wonderful Bible apps, have them. Start getting the information in your mind and heart. It takes a little while, but it's surprising what will stick, and you'll have an understanding. And then you hear these sermons and you hear the Bible studies online, and after a while it starts becoming very familiar to you. And you'll start saying, "Well, why is any more talking about this point or that point?" Because you'll start having the information, asking the Holy Spirit to enlighten your heart with the Word of God. So we're in a very important chapter, Daniel chapter 9, and we're learning how to pray in a crisis. So the very first thing you want to do when you start to pray is let God speak to you before you speak to Him. Let God speak to you. Let Him speak to me, and then I can speak to Him. Well, Gary, how do you let God speak to you? That's so mystical and amazing. How does that happen? By doing what I just said. Read the Bible. Let God speak to you in His Word. It's amazing the stuff that's in there. So, start that way. Listen to the Word of God, verse 1, chapter 9. It was in the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, who was made king of the Babylonians by Cyrus. During the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, was studying the scriptures. I learned from the word of the Lord, as recorded by Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. You have to understand who Daniel was. Historically, he's one of the great figures in history. He was the prime minister of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. He's the prime minister of the province of Babylon when the Persians conquered it under the Persians. Ezekiel said, if God was judging a city and the holiest people we know of, Noah and Job and Daniel, were in that city, God would spare them, but not the city. Now, the point of this scripture, I think it's chapter 14 of Ezekiel, the point of me bringing this up, and it's not in your notes, by the way, so you have to write that down, Ezekiel 14, Job, Daniel, and Noah. The reason I'm bringing that up is to point out with what reverence the ancients held Daniel. Daniel was at the top of the list of holy, righteous, and good people. And so this holy, righteous, this incredible man of God is studying the scriptures. Did you read that? Did you hear that? Did you hear what that said? In the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, who was made king of the Babylonians by Cyrus, during the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, was studying the scriptures. Well, if he needs to do it, how about you and me, right? Why was he doing that? Because he wanted to know what the word of the Lord was. He wanted to understand what God wanted, and this is what he was reading. He was reading from Jeremiah 29. Listen to this. It says there, quote, God says this to you, he's talking to the Israelites, you will be kept in Babylon for 70 years, but then I'll keep my gracious promise to bring you back to your home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, that not plans for your disaster. My plans will give you hope in a future. In those days when you pray, I will listen. That's what Daniel was reading. He was reading that promise, the promises of God. So how do you pray in a crisis? The first thing you want to do is you want to know the promises of God so you know what to ask for. God made this promise. By the way, this is a very bold promise. This is historically something that never happens. One country is never destroyed in the ancient world and comes back 70 years. It never happens, but it happened to Israel. And God told them through the prophets that it would happen. And it did. It happened. This is all in retrospect for us, but for them, it was amazing. Here's a promise of God, and it was fulfilled. So you want to do this when you're praying. You want to keep in mind two factors. First, you want to think about what you're praying about. And the second thing you want to do is focus on God's timing. Oh, God, free us from this virus. God, in God's timing, he's going to free us, America and the world, from this virus. God's timing. Notice first off here, we are given the historical setting. We're given the context for the times they were living in, for the prayers that Daniel was praying. This is who was the king. This is who was in charge. This is the setting. I was in Babylon. And so you get the historical setting. That's a great place to start praying. What's the historical setting you find yourself in today? What's the historical setting? What's going on? I know it's very boring times. Nothing much is going on. It's just kind of the same old, same. No, it's not, is it? It's not at all the same old, same old. So start with where you're at. Lord God, you can see the world. You can see people in nursing homes are dying from this plague. Will you help us? And see, you're praying now in the historical context you're in. Lord, we see that people are hurting and raging and rioting because of injustice. You can see the historical setting you're in. Now, you can argue with how the words I'm using right now, but use your own words for what you see and talk to God about it. That's the two factors to keep in mind. What am I praying and God's timing? The historical setting, the context we live in. You see, many folks today, many who are listening to my voice right now have a deep-seated feeling of unease, of dis-ease, of disease because of the times we're living in. If you don't feel it, I don't know what to tell you. If you can't feel the vibe, as it were, if you can't feel the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age, if you cannot sense that there's something really, really wrong, that it's like a spiritual force. Let me tell you why it feels like a spiritual force. Because it's a spiritual force that we're dealing with here. It's why you feel that unease. Because of the times we're living in. Pastor Gary, how are we supposed to act and react to all that's going on? My friends seem to be mad at me for not agreeing with them about political and social things, and I don't understand, for not feeling the way they feel. I'm confused, I'm conflicted, I'm sad. What do I do? People, may I humbly, and I mean that, may I humbly suggest two things. Number one, treat others the way you want to be treated. When they're expressing their heart to you, treat them the way you want to be treated when you're expressing your heart to them. Jesus gave us that. It's one of the most brilliant ideas. It is life-changing. When someone is telling you something you don't want to hear in a way you don't want to hear it, and it's agitating and aggravating to you, just think, if I'm this person, how would I want to be treated? And then treat that person that way. And generally speaking, what we want is to be treated with respect. We want to be listened to. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can grow in as far as reflecting back what we're hearing. That's very important and very powerful. But in the meantime, understand the reason that person seems agitated is because they're agitated. They're hurting. We need to listen to one another right now. Number one, treat others the way you want to be treated. You see, this is the exact situation Jesus was referring to when he said that. When he said, turn the other cheek, this is exactly the situation he was talking about. When it's hard, getting slapped on the cheek is painful. Turning the other cheek is not what we want to do. We want to wrestle the person to the ground. We want to pay back, right? This is human nature. Turn the other cheek. Three L's, love others, listen to others, learn from others, right? Love others, listen to others, learn from others. I don't have the answers. I have no idea how to fix America right now. I have zero. Except I know people need to be loved and they need to be listened to and we need to learn from one another. Daniel's prayer here is very instructive. One of the things we're doing is we're taking the prayers of the Bible in this series and we are personalizing them and praying them back to God. You don't know how to pray? That's how you learn. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 says this, continuing, it says, so I gave my attention to the Lord God. I'm going to read a long section here, then go back and unpack it. I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications and fastings with sackcloth and ashes. Supplications simply means begging. Oh God, oh God, oh God, help us! Begging. I prayed, verse 4, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant with an everlasting kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and your ordinances. Verse 6, moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to the kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Verse 7, righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame. As it is this day, to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away and all the countries to which you have driven them because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against you. Take that prayer, write it out in your own hand, type it out if you'd like, but write it out, type it out, put your name in there, put your community in there, your nation in there, and then pray that to God. If it's true. If it's true. Maybe it's not true about America. I don't know. Maybe it's not true about you. Maybe it's not true about your family and your friends. Maybe they haven't sinned. You know? They've listened to the prophets. They have obeyed God in all of his commandments. And everything's cool with that, right? And so this prayer doesn't apply to them. Or it applies to them, right? And this is what happens. God's judgment works this way. Historically, scripturally, what God does is he backs off and he lets us do what we want. And that becomes the judgment. Instead of protecting us from the curse we bring upon ourselves, he lets us have what we want. So we're learning to pray through our difficult times by personalizing and praying the prayers found in the Bible. So to do that, first of all, you want to hear from God. And you do that by reading His Word. Number two, focus your attention on God. I don't know about you, but the world is it's very hard to focus on anything very well right now, isn't it? Is it just me? It's very hard to focus. My attention gets drawn over here and over there to, you know, this news report and that news report and this thing on the internet and that thing on Facebook, and it's over and over and distraction and distraction. And am I stopping and looking and turning my heart to the living God? I wonder what CNN thinks. I wonder what Fox News thinks. I wonder what my friends on Facebook and Instagram and what do they think? What are they saying? And turn your attention to God. That's what Daniel did, verse 3. So I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking Him. New American Standard says, so I gave my attention to the Lord to seek Him by prayer. That's number two, focus your attention on God. Number three, express my desires with passion and emotion. Express your desire to God with passion and emotion. Are you feeling passionate about things today? Are there things that have happened in the last week or two, in the last 2 months, that you feel passionate about? Are you upset about injustice and misinformation and fake news and conspiracies? Talk to God about it. Talk to Him about it. Read Psalm 2, by the way, if you want to know what God thinks of the machinations of the nations. Read Psalm 2. Read Psalm 2. You see, God is on the throne. He's in charge. Don't worry. This is not surprising to Him. But you want to express your desires with passion and emotion. You want to, that's your whole soul now. It's your mind. Here's the information. And here's the feeling. And it says, Daniel says, I began with pleading with God earnestly in prayer. Okay, here's the prayer. Okay, God, let me read the prayer here. Okay, we have sinned against You. We have turned against You. We have not listened to Your prophets. We have not obeyed Your commandments. I'm just going to recite this. Okay, I got to get this out of the way. I'm going to get this. Then I'm going to go on and do my daily thing. When you're praying like that, it's useless. I don't know why, but God does hear our hearts when we are fully connected and going to Him. Oh God, oh God, oh God! Our nation sinned against You. I poured out my heart, bringing my soul to God, it says in the Message Bible. Then my people will join together in tears to seek the Lord, it says in Jeremiah. And they will ask in the way of Jerusalem, and they will start back home again, it says in Jeremiah 50. Let those passionate feelings you're experiencing empower your heart's cry to the Lord in prayer. Let it out. They used to call it gestalt therapy. Get all gestalt therapeutic with God, all right? Just let it out. Let Him know how you're feeling. Number four, demonstrate by my seriousness with fasting. With fasting, Gary, with fasting? Isn't that kind of old school, old fashioned, Old Testament? Is that really a thing people do? Yeah, you know, it is kind of weird and old, and I don't know, Jesus did it. Moses did it, the apostles did it, the disciples did it, church fathers and church founders did it. Throughout history, people have prayed and fasted. You know how to fast. First of all, if you have a health condition, do not fast. Do I need to say this? I feel like a commercial sometimes. But I'm not your nanny, okay? But if you have a health condition, obviously think about fasting in the light of your health condition. Talk to your doctor about it. Different doctors have different opinions on fasting. Fasting is very powerful. I think of Bill Bright. If you want to understand how to fast, type in Bill Bright. He was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. He had this terminal disease that was supposed to kill him in months. And part of his life practice was periods of fasting, and he just felt he was supposed to fast for a long time, and he started fasting, and he ate very little and fasted an awful lot, and instead of dying in months, he lived for years with this disease that eventually took his life. And he journaled about that, and he wrote about it, how to fast. Bill Bright, Campus Crusade for Christ, fasting. If you want to understand fasting, it's a great place to start. But that's number four. I demonstrate my seriousness with fasting. You can fast all kinds of things, you see. You can fast all kinds of things. One thing you want to fast, for sure, is anything that has a screen on it. And any kind of music that dominates your mind and heart, because we know that our brains focus on those things when we are in them. There's endorphins that are released, there's other hormones that are released in the brain that it becomes addictive. People wake up now, before they're conscious, they reach over, their body is doing it, they're not even aware, reach over, grab their phone, turn it on, and start flipping through their social media, and this is normal now. And they're not awake fully. Fast screens, turn them off. Unplug your phone, turn it off, and put it somewhere you have to get up and walk to in the morning before, so your body just can't go, I'm going to get my drug now. You know, right? When you fast these things, your brain starts resetting. You can start focusing, I don't know, on God, on His Word, on what He's saying. That's number four, demonstrate my seriousness with fasting. You can fast food. Some people fast meat. Some people fast vegetables. You know, the thing you like, maybe it's the thing you fast, you know. Fast food. Fasting. Daniel 3, part C of that verse, and I started fasting and went without food to show my sadness. I put on rough clothes, sackcloth, and sat in ashes. This is, look, I'm going to set aside my comfort because my comfort keeps me from being awake. So I'm going to fast my comfort so that it's a little more difficult for me to get woozy and sleepy and hypnotized by my devices. So I fast to thank God for His love and promises. When you don't eat, pray a prayer like this. Lord, thank you for all the times I've gotten to eat, because I really miss it right now. I really, really love to eat, and I'm not doing it right now, and it's just reminding me the blessing that you've given me, that you've given me food all the days of my life. That you've given me entertainment, that you've given me computers to do incredible things with. Think you fast to thank God, to remind you and to give thanks for the things He's done for you. Next, humbly confess my sins. Start with your own sins. Confess them to God. Your wrongs, your abuses of thought, word, and deed. That's it. Just start listing those. Wrong thoughts, wrong words, wrong actions. Abusive thoughts, words, or actions. That's all. Just start making, this isn't about beating yourself up, it's about being honest with God. God, there's something between me and you, you and me, something that I have put there. Will you forgive me and will you take it away? That's what Daniel does here. We've sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and ignored your commands and rejected your laws. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets who spoke your message to our kings and leaders and to Gary and to you and to everyone else in the nation. It goes on. I'm not going to read all of these. I have different translations of this confession. It's a good exercise to do. And then wait for God's response. Let him respond to your heart. Let him respond and show you. It says in Daniel verse 9, verse 20 and following, it says, "While I kept on praying and confessing my sin and the sins of my people and pleading with the Lord, suddenly the angel Gabriel appeared in my vision and said, 'Daniel, I have been sent to you,'" understand, "so that you could understand God's plan the moment you began to pray." Wow. An answer was given. And I'm here to tell it to you, for God loves you very much. So we have this Gabriel coming, and here's the thing, it took 2 weeks for Gabriel to deliver the message because he was hindered by the spiritual prince of Persia, the scriptures tell us. That spiritual prince, there are principalities and powers over nations. I have this prophecy, and I dusted it off. I gave it to some friends this week. I'm going to read it here in a week or two. It's a prophecy that was given to a Russian Orthodox priest. Yeah, that would be 140 years ago, where he describes what was going to happen to Russia and then into the Western Europe and to the United States. Little sentences, boom, boom, boom. It's like two paragraphs long. It's breathtaking. And one of the things he says in there is, a spirit has been released on Russia. It's not a philosophy. It's not an ideology. It's not a political movement. It's a spirit. And wherever it goes, blood will flow and it will envelop the world. This guy prophesied this, describing exactly what would happen with Marxism in the world. See, if you think what is happening here is social, or, you know, what's happening in America right now is a sociological thing, you don't understand something very important. There's a spiritual force that has been released on America, and you want the spiritual force released on America to be the Holy Spirit. You want to pray for that. You want to pray that any other spiritual force be restricted. You want God to hear your prayer. You want the spiritual force to be released on America to be God's Holy Spirit, and every other spiritual force to be bound and rebuked. We read this how to pray last week, 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm just going to read it really quick. Go back to last week's message if you want to understand this verse. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land." It's very interesting to me to see that some folks in this church and in Cambria who have never been political, who haven't been involved in the political debates or social causes, who are now stirred to begin to get involved. If that's you today, start that process with prayer, like Daniel was praying. Start there. Don't start in midstream of somebody else's political agenda. Please don't do that. That's very dangerous. And if you haven't studied it and if you're not aware of what's going on, you're being used, okay? It's that simple. Study it. Understand what you're doing. Pray. Seek God. Ask for His Spirit to lead you. I'm not saying don't get involved politically. Nothing wrong with that, but do it with your whole being, your mind, your will, your emotions, the Spirit of the living God. Don't get sucked into something that you don't understand. And the spiritual forces of wickedness don't want you to understand. They want to use you. If you really want justice, and that's always what is on God's heart, that's God's idea, by the way. If you want justice, it always starts with God's heart. It begins with God's word to us on what justice really is. If we're running off half-cocked, repeating ideas and phrases that sound good to us and yet we haven't thought them through, we could be emotionally hurting the very people we want to help. the very people around us that we care most about. People we hope will be part of the solution and not part of the problem we're facing. Daniel chapter 9 again, verse 11. He prays, indeed, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out on us, along with the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. It goes on, repeating the promises and commands and consequences that God has spoken in his word. The promises, the consequences, and the commands. See, repeating them back, I could read all of this. He lists them, he starts going through them, and here are your promises, and here are your commands, and here are the consequences, Lord. And I could repeat those to you. And you see, this is a very important part of prayer, is repeating to God what he has already said. Not because he needs to know, but because we need to know it well enough to repeat it to him. That's a powerful way to pray. Oh God, you promised this. Oh Lord, you commanded that. Forgive us for not obeying. Lord, you told us these consequences were coming and we didn't listen. But you promised mercy. And over again in Daniel's prayer, but you are a God of mercy. There's this Hebrew word, and I can't repeat the word right now out loud, but it gets translated mercy or loving kindness, or best yet, merciful loving kindness. There's not an English equivalent to this one word in Hebrew, but it is the heart of God. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action for your own sake. O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. Learn to pray. Now's the time. You know how much Daniel prayed? Of course, none of us are Daniel. Daniel's in the pantheon. He's a superstar. He's up on the highest mantle of spiritual heroes. He prayed. He was prime minister. He prayed three times every day. Every day. How long did he pray? Do we just read this prophecy that Daniel referred to in Jeremiah for 70 years, that Jerusalem would lay desolate before God restored it? 70 years. Daniel was taken captive as probably a tweener. He was probably around 13, 14 years old. The Babylonians, when they captured people, they got the best people, the smartest people, the most accomplished people's kids, and incorporated them into their university. He was probably castrated, because that was one of the things they did. And then they put him in charge of things. And now he's an old man praying this prayer. In 70 years, Daniel prayed, oh Lord, you said you would return. So decades at the very least, probably close to 70 years. Every day, three times a day, Daniel prayed. Every day. You see, this is what's called a crafted prayer. Pastor Denise has been talking about this in small groups, crafting a prayer. This is a crafted prayer. This is a prayer from the heart with all the ideas. This is what happens when you learn to pray. You start, these prayers start multiplying in our heart. We understand the depths of them, the roots of them, and we start lifting them up to God. And this is a prayer that Daniel prayed three times a day. Now, you might think, well, you know, Daniel's life was a little different. He didn't have all the distractions we have. He had this distraction. He was told, if you pray, you're going to be thrown to the lions. The hungry lions that will starve, we're going to throw you in the lion's den and feed you to them if you pray. You know what he did about that? He prayed. I don't think your circumstances are so hard as Daniel's was. Maybe I'm wrong, okay? Forgive me if I am. Three times a day. Gary, I don't know. It's hard for me to do it once. I have to do it three. You don't have to do it at all. This isn't a legalism I'm putting on you. This is a here is an opportunity for you to bless the world. You get to enter into this. You get to participate in this. This is, you know, hey, this is like Amway, but better. You know, this is a ground floor. This is the way the whole world's going to work one day, you know. Learn to pray. 3 times a day. Well, here's some suggestions. Wake up and pray. Instead of reaching for your smart device, reach for your prayer notebook or a little card that reminds you to pray. Pray when you wake up, pray when you go to sleep. That's twice, all right? Pray before you have a meal. That's probably 3 times for most of us. 3 more times. That's 5. Suddenly you're praying 5 times a day. What do you pray? Begin to figure that out. Begin to craft those prayers. Do you pray with thanksgiving over the food you eat? I mean, or you just woof it down? One of the great spiritual mentors of the 20th century, Richard Foster, wrote the book, Celebration of the Disciplines, who was a disciple of Dallas Willard, by the way. He learned that stuff from Dallas Willard. His watch, he had 2 watches, one to tell time and the other one would go off every 15 minutes. Boom, and he would stop wherever he was. I was with him once. I was at a conference. I had to chat him up. Oh my gosh, here's one of my spiritual heroes. And we're walking up these stairs to go to this conference, and his watch starts beeping. He says, just a second, and he stops. For a minute or two, eyes closed, head bowed. And he said, I get reminded to pray, and when I do, I stop and pray. How often? Every 15 minutes while I'm awake. You need to be reminded that often. I want to be reminded that often. When do you pray? Well, what do you want from God? Do you want the healing of the nation and of the nations? Do you want a solution to the racial divide in America? Let me tell you right now, there is nobody that's smart enough to fix this. There's not one living human being that can fix this problem. There isn't. It has to come from the throne of God, or it's not getting fixed. We're going to do this all over again. We're going to do this all over again if we don't listen to God, if he doesn't speak through someone and lead us. Well, I'm going to stop there. My heart is grieved for the emerging generations. They need Jesus in a way they don't have him. And right now what's happening in the nation is, let me tell you something I know that I know, and I believe from the Lord. The coronavirus and the current political strife are the beginning. They're the beginning of the consequences of America's rebellion against God. Now, you don't like that idea? I don't like it either. But if you don't want more of this, please learn to pray with me. Will you pray with me for this nation? Will you set aside time? I don't know anything about prayer, we'll learn to pray. And if you already know how to pray, please get others and do it with them. We're gonna pray right now over these things. And so, Lord God, Lord, you have not brought to us what we deserve, but you have brought to us warning now. You have looked on us, and you are giving us again another chance to turn our hearts to you, to seek your face, to repent of our wrongs, our abuses, our disobedience, our sticking our thumb in your eye and ignoring your word. Lord, America has been drenched in your word, and look at us. We are sad, pathetic. And Jesus, we need your grace to be poured out once again. Will you have mercy on us again, Lord? Lord, not for my generation. My generation, we need your mercy, but the emerging generations need an outpouring of your Spirit that they've never experienced, that they don't know what that means and what that looks like. Would you pour your Spirit out upon the emerging generations so that they would look back at the Jesus movement as just a small little beginning to something so grand that we can't even take it in? And not just America, Abba. Lord, would you bring the outpouring of your Spirit upon the nations now? On the nations, Lord. Lord, there's so much more we need to pray for. Would you help us? Would you give wisdom? Would you bring forth those people, those leaders, those men and those women that have your Spirit and understanding and can speak into this situation with wisdom we haven't seen yet? Release them, we pray, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word and the promises therein and the models for prayer that you've given us. And now, Lord, we rededicate our hearts to you, to this purpose, to this end, to become prayer warriors for the emerging generations and for the nations of the world. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen.